hey, man, I think we need to get some female involvement in this podcast. Let's do a reverse closed session. Let's go outside. Close the door. Oh, it's a boys' club, man. Boys,
man, you boys change, rule. You're changing the landscape of what we do here,
I
man.
Oh, man, but you know, it's pressure. East Bay, man. So I made up a list. Let's see if you...
Now, women, like two of them at the same time or just one at a time? You said plural.
No,
I'm just
one.
Getting clarification,
no,
man.
I mean, I list the possible. I'm saying,
okay.
I'm saying, how about San Leandro, former mayor San Leandro, Sheila Young?
What? She... I don't think... She...
Wow.
Yeah, you might want to go to your next person on your list.
She's just she's available. What about the old mayor of Oakland, Gene Kwan?
Oh, what? I don't know if that's a good one either, man. I don't think her husband Floyd would be too keen on that.
It'd be a party though.
He'd
bring the Cavassier.
Next.
What about here's a good one. What about the lady who ran against Nancy O'Malley, Pamela Price?
What? That's even worse. You're going in the wrong direction, man.
This is good.
You're going in the wrong direction.
Oh, man. We don't have much more time in closed session. The door opens by itself.
Shit.
After the timer.
You better hurry up and come up with
I got an idea.
Let's go. What?
Do you know this official in Pleasanton? Her name's Olivia San Wong. How about her?
Oh. Yeah? That might work. But I gotta be honest with you, man. I get her confused with that KTVU reporter, Claudine Wong, all the time. Every time I see her, I'm like, I thought she was on Zone 7. Yeah, she's doing a fucking interview, man, on KTVU. I get confused. So you gotta bring the real San Wong. The real San Wong. The real San Wong. Please stand up. For the people that like me, they fucking hate you.
And the people who, like me, hate you. So everybody, fasten your seatbelts. It's East Bay Insiders with Steve Tavares and Sean Wilson, starting now.
You see Eminem busted a rhyme at the Oscars?
Yeah, I did.
That was cool.
I did. But you know what? I just had... It turns out Olivia San Wong is just right here. She just
what?
Cut... She's doing the typical cutting through Fremont
going
to get to Pleasanton.
Dude, we're not going to be able to do this podcast with all this traffic, people going to their homes in the other communities because Fremont touts themselves on not building shit.
But look, she's waving at us.
Hey!
Hey, let's get her
on. Get over here. Come on by.
Hi, guys.
We're just starting out. Then we'll call you in. Dude, now it's his music.
It's not as McDonald's-centric as you think, though, man. I think it's the cadence is in reverse. But I don't know.
Here we are. What a difference podcasts make. It was like 3 degrees Celsius. And now it's a warm like 72 in Fremont for the East Bay Insiders. I'm Steve Tavares.
I'm Sean Wilson.
And it's been a while, man.
Yeah.
It's been about 10 days, 2 weeks.
We have a Super Bowl champion, man. We got FPPC filings in District 1 finally.
We got
a lot of stuff, man. There's a lot of stuff going on.
We had
man.
Some untimely deaths.
Yeah.
We had some espionage.
We had a lot of shit going on.
We have an election coming up.
We do.
And we're going to talk about it. And as we mentioned, we got a guest here.
Yeah.
Actually,
and
historic on many levels.
Historic on one level, and that is you actually won your last election.
That's right.
Just kidding, guys. So that's always a good thing.
We got from help me with the Zone 7 Water District. Are you president? Vice president.
Vice president.
The vice president of Water Zone 7. She's going to tell us what it's about.
Hi.
Olivia San Wong.
Yeah, what is it that you guys do?
Yeah. You got a nice logo, though.
Great logo. And hi, everyone. Olivia San Wong here.
She's here.
She's here.
She was also, I first met you covering Pleasanton City Council. I don't do much. But since they're all a bunch of freaking Republicans, and then there was going to be a Democrat running for the... It was an open seat, right? Or no, a point that needed to be... Somebody left, right?
Yes, the current mayor of Pleasanton, it was the remaining term of his city council seat.
That's
so special election.
Jerry?
Jerry Thorne. Yes, this is back in 2013. I believe the election was May 2013.
Yeah. So I covered that because they're all a bunch of freaking Republicans. I figured some here and then.
I'm surprised
didn't
you
happen.
I'm surprised you even found Pleasanton because prior to that, you just stuck around on the east side of the hill, or west side of the hills.
Pleasanton is.
You didn't cover a lot out there.
Pleasanton, I feel like I believe like Pleasanton is a misnomer. It's not. It should be more like Scaryton.
No, Pleasanton's the best. I love Pleasanton. So
or Rudington.
No, we should mention we're in Fremont.
We are in Fremont.
Fremont today.
And will you admit though that you use your Waze, W-A-Z-E, to cut through Fremont, like all those Tri Valley.
What other ways were you thinking?
you know, your feminine ways. Like, your feminine.
Thumb up.
Yes, I cut through Fremont. I'll admit to it.
That's honesty.
What everyone does.
I mean,
honesty.
The one thing that Fremont does is they did not connect 680 to 880. That was a proposal back in the day, actually, and they chose not to connect. And so we are forced to get onto Mission Boulevard to go from 880 to 680.
I bet you back in that day, they didn't have a member of the city council with a plethora master's degrees in regional planning. I bet you that was not an option for them on the council at that particular time. Because had that been there, things might be different. We may not be cutting through.
He may have not. Vinnie Baker?
Well, I wasn't saying it. Vinton, by the way.
He probably wasn't even born when this was.
No, this was not that long ago. How long ago was that, Olivia?
I'm guessing the 1980s.
Yeah.
Oh, 80s. That's a long time ago, man. I always forget that you're way older than me.
I'm totally way older.
Like 4 years older. You're way older, man. That's like I would have missed you in high school. You would have been already graduated when I was a freshman.
True.
You're that old.
Yeah.
But Water 7.
Zone
7.
Water 7 sounds better. So you got this nice.
You got
this, change the fucking board. It's cool.
You got this logo. It's so cool, I think. It's great graphic design.
Yes.
It's like, so the 7 is like a stream that's shaped like a 7 coming right at you.
Yes. So the history of Zone 7 is Alameda County has a series of flood control districts. Zone 7 is one of those flood control districts. And back in the mid-20th century, some folks, mainly a lot of the winery owners, got together and wanted to take control of flood control, flood protection, and form Zone 7. And Zone 7, if I were to give you the quick elevator pitch, we plan for droughts and floods in the Tri-Valley region, Livermore, Dublin, Pleasanton.
So you're at a time. If you didn't want to work, this was not the time to be on that Water 7. Because now you got a lot to do because we're entering a time of, and plus planning, right? Is there a plan? Like, because these droughts are going to get worse.
We just went through one of the worst droughts ever, and Zone 7 was not prepared for it. Mm. Zone 7 is very dependent on our state water project. And because at the time, Governor Brown had a very low allocation of state water project water, Zone 7 was forced to ask the residents of the Tri-Valley region to cut back significantly. So what we're doing to plan right now is we are participating in Los Vaqueros expansion in Brentwood with the Contra Costa Water District. And we are also a part of the Sites Reservoir Project up near Sacramento. And these are all projects that are going to help increase our water supply for drought years.
Have you ever been to Los Vaqueros?
No.
It's actually pretty cool, man.
Cowboys?
You can get...
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man. It's Cowboys. I don't know. Anyway,
it's cows.
You can get a... you can rent a boat, like a little, you know, tin boat, like you can at...
I can't swim, man.
No, that's why you get a boat. I didn't say you rent a life jacket.
Make sure I got a life jacket. Board.
No, you get a boat, and you can actually swim. Fish out there.
It's my weakness.
Have you been there?
I have.
It's really cool.
We had a joint Zone 7 Contra Costa Water District board meeting at Los Vaqueros.
Yeah, that's nice. You got to check it out, man.
Ooh. Well, let me ask you this, Sean.
Ooh.
Somebody on that board... which I now think sounds rolls off the tongue. Water 7, Zone 7. So who's on the Zone 6? Is there another Zone 6 district board?
There is a flood control district, but it's all part of Alameda County.
Oh. So
and Sean may be able to speak to some of this, because some of it's operated as a separate entity, but then a lot of the staff actually is the public works staff of the county.
I could ask Sean, but his eyes are glazing over right
now. Yeah,
but let me ask Sean, expert consultant, somebody on this board, they were to say, if they live in Pleasanton, how would you say, hey, this person could run for something Pleasanton right now, be the mayor?
Yeah, you definitely.
How could you parlay that?
Well, I think
it's an important thing.
From 2013 to 2020, you have a different a base in Pleasanton. I mean, when you ran in 2013, you know, you were sort of new, you were a woman and you were Asian. So you had a lot of uphill battles. I don't think those battles are now uphill battles. I think those battles now are positives. And I think at this juncture where the country's at politically and locally, I think, you know, what I hear when I go door to door is people are happier with people coming to your door and talking to you. They're more engaging. And that has to do with the shit storm we have at the national level. People now are like, I'm sick of that shit. Don't want to hear about it. But what are you talking about locally? So I think people, twofold. One, they're more engaged locally. And two, you have a better platform, a better, you know, ways to contrast yourself. Whereas before, they weren't better ways of contrasting yourself. Today, they are better ways. So I think looking, hang on, let me flip to page 32.
You haven't had that book out for a while.
No, I'm going to go 3205, 9 to 2000. Yeah, I think that if you were to run for mayor in Pleasanton, based on my calculus in this algorithm that I created in my manual, you'll be successful.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you know, so much has changed in the Tri-Valley. My family first moved to the Tri-Valley in 1980. Recently, I went to Pacific Pearl, the new shopping center in Pleasanton near the Livermore Outlets. And I went with my father, and he made a really funny comment about how when we first moved to the Tri-Valley.
Oh, I was going to say he's made a comment about the Pacific Pearl. Because that is kind of, there's.
Well, with that, you know, we now have.
Oh, I should be clean.
Two ranch.
My sexual perversions have to stay away from that. Yeah, I got. Come on, man. I segue my sexual perversion comment with an "and we're back" all the time.
Wow.
There you go. So I'm good. I'm happy that the clam digging, clam pearl thing wasn't the joke your dad had. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It was all good. No, my dad's an immigrant from northeastern Thailand. And his comment when we were there was that when we first moved to the Tri-Valley in 1980, you could count the number of Asian people on one hand.
See? Has changed. Mm.
What's the difference between? I'm almost confused. What's the difference between Thai food and like just other Asian foods? You just put
spice.
Like peanut butter
spicy
in there?
Peanuts.
Yes, spiciness
is
for
yeah.
sure.
I think Thai food has
been ranked some of the spiciest food in the world. And then where my father's from, northeastern Thailand, Isan, is even spicier.
Can you now?
But is that the difference of the spice? But peanut. Nobody else has peanut sauce.
Well, it's a mixture.
Tom Coughlin?
Tom Kaw.
Oh, I thought the guy was, used to be the coach of the Giants. You ever had Tom Coughlin?
Hopefully you never
really.
Had him.
I think also with Thai food, you have that combination of sweet, sour, spicy. Yeah. It's bringing in a lot of different flavors at the same time.
It's my third favorite food, man.
I like them
What's your first two?
Well, I mean, I gotta like the ding-dong nuts or whatever this guy's eating. No, man.
I mean,
obviously the first one is Italian, right, since I grew up next to it, all around it. And then my second would be Mexican food because, again, I love the spiciness.
Yes.
The Thai is definitely
top
my three. Top
three. That's good. That's
Man,
good.
I love that shit, dude. Oh, I'm sorry. What is your experience with the culinary delights of Filipino food since you wake up next to one every morning? And I know she cooks you food probably, right?
I prefer not to talk about it.
Why not? Did you get in trouble last time?
I don't want to talk about Filipino food.
What? So
you don't want. Let me put it this way.
Did our researcher send you the info on the ding dong nuts or whatever? What are they calling in? The
ding dong nuts.
Oh, okay,
I could have got some if I thought about it on the way down here. We could be trying.
Have you ever heard of ding dong nuts?
I saw it on the earlier podcast.
One of our great listeners told me there's a research and they're very bad for you. I don't know if I said that already.
High caloric value.
No, it's worse. It's like
really?
It'll kill you.
Oh God.
Eat like two bags, you're dead. But let me put it this way.
You just got to go with the regular ding-dongs. Remember those? Those are high in fat, too.
The Hostess.
Hostess ding-dongs.
Yeah, there used to be
call them ding-dongs.
There used to be a Hostess outlet in Dublin. It was the most glorious place where you get all this stuff on discount.
Really?
Yes, they had one in San Leandro right behind the Marina, whatever.
Although a lot of women will tell you, don't always go for the cheap ding-dong.
Oh, you just bought
the most advisable.
You know, I've always been a fan of ho-hos.
Me too.
Ho-hos are good.
Yeah, you bring out some great memories.
Ho-hos?
No, the outlet store. It's the Hostess outlet store. It's right by the by the Burrell Field, San Leandro. It used to be. Oh,
is when that I, where your mom dropped you off?
No, my mom used to go there, and you know, you could come with
it is right over there. I know what you're talking about.
You come out with a big bag of just all the Hostess, like for like $12.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Like the one in Dublin was right near the post office.
And so I, as a teenager, I nicknamed it simply the Gold Mine. Hey man, I'm going to the Gold Mine. You've just hit on my weakness. That's literally my weakness. But one weakness for so. I talked about my weakness of not knowing how to swim, so I prefer...
Oh, I used to be a lifeguard and swim instructor.
Oh, wow. Well, how am I going to learn how to swim?
We can go to the pool. As an adult. I used to teach adult swimming classes.
Really?
Yes, at the Pleasanton Aquatic Center.
You fucking don't know how to swim, man.
I don't know how to swim, and I'm afraid that now it's known out there that Bill Lockyer is going to send his goons and finally whack me.
Let's go do a swim lesson.
Make sure it's not in Alameda.
Hold on. Excuse me. If I'm ever missing, check the Bill Lockyer Bay Trail. I'm probably in there. I can't
Bill
swim.
Bill Lockyer Bay Trail?
Yeah.
That's a long-ass trail. They're going to be looking for you for a while.
So about the Filipino food, put it this way. It was in the Chronicle talking about, next big food is Filipino food in the Bay Area. I was like, cancel this subscription. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a fan, and I hope that nobody's listening.
I will say this. Growing up in the 1980s, nobody knew where Thailand was. A lot of people confused it with Taiwan. I've noticed since the 1980s, Thai food has become extremely popular, it's been so much easier for me to explain that my father's from Thailand and that I'm part Thai.
Hey, look, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't hit Thailand on a map with a dart right now, but I swear to God I know how to get their food. It is... delicious.
Pretty close to the Philippines, actually. Yeah.
Is it?
It's all Southeast Asia. You've got Vietnam, you've got Malaysia, the Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, Laos.
So you're not going to expand upon your Filipino cuisine experience?
I'm afraid they're going to listen to this and they're going to find out. But no.
Okay.
Lumpia.
Oh, wow, man. That's about a standard of spaghetti.
Lumpia. But I got to say, when you keep saying Thai, and I just think of Meet the Parents. He's like, Jack, yes. Jack talk Thai. Jack doesn't talk Thai. Oh, Jack talk Thai very well. What is this we talking about? You can talk about Taiwan. Hey, let's get into the juicy stuff now. You see this thing at Fremont? Council member of Fremont, Teresa King, who got in trouble on WeChat. Just like kids, man. Do not making trouble on the online apps, kids. She goes on WeChat.
Social media kills, man.
She goes on, last year she goes there, and then she's like, hey, everybody, the mayor, Mayor Lily May, she wants to put a homeless navigation center by your house. You know what we should do? We should go to her house. If she wants it, we should go to her house. And so she's like telling everybody to go and, I don't know, she could have people go there and assault the mayor, man. It's a serious thing. So she goes on WeChat now. You see this now where she was hanging out with these Chinese communist group. She's Taiwan. I don't know if she's Taiwanese, but she's from Taiwan. And she goes over there.
Wouldn't that make her Taiwanese?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes she claims she's from Hong Kong, but she has a connection. If she's not Taiwanese, she lived there or something like that.
Well, I've been to Hong Kong, and there is a lot of Taiwan folks living there. I mean, they cross that waterway all the time. I mean, I've actually been to Taiwan as well, and it was an experience, man. I mean, that was some really cool shit.
But what she did, Taiwan, and she went to this Chinese. It's unclear, but it sounds like they're kind of like the arm of the Chinese Communist government, and they want Taiwan to be part of China, which is a big deal because basically,
huge deal.
If the United States does not protect Taiwan, there is no Taiwan, and there's a movement, we got World War III, a movement from China to try to take Taiwan, we have to defend it. We got World War III.
Well, and look what's happening in Hong Kong with all the protests and the unrest in regards to. China's...
It's sensitive subject.
Yeah, governance.
And for her to go to this group and say, I just went and photoshopped or went on my Mac... what do you call that? Word document, and I created a city of Fremont. Says thank you to this communist group that wants to start World War III, and here you go. And I'm going to put my picture on it and make it look like a proclamation, put the seal, and then they... she got caught, man, by your friend Rick Jones.
But, well, man, if anyone's going to catch her on that council, it's going to be a former police officer, man. Yeah. So that's probably wise to commit a crime on
that
council.
That's true. That's true.
Be that as it may, I mean, look, did she have concurrence of the whole council when she released that, or did she on her own?
She just made this haphazard thing, like giant, like, I don't know.
Oh, man.
40-point font says City of Fremont. It totally looks like City of Fremont is for World War III and China taking Taiwan. And so here's my question. The mayor brought up maybe let's look into the city, should look into maybe we should censure her, which is like impeachment. It's like a stain. It's terrible. But it's pretty rare, as I wrote last week. It's rare to get done.
Yeah.
Do you think this is... I don't know if this is the word. Censorable?
Is what she did censorable? I would punt that to someone who's in elected office. But before I do, I would think absolutely yes. If she has the votes to do it, why not do it? But at the same time, they need to take a page out of the Dublin City Council and do what they do in the city of Dublin. If they don't like what you do, no matter when you're up for election, they just recall you. Don't matter. I'm going to recall you. Well, I'm up on the ballot in 3 months. Can you just wait? No, nope, we're going to recall you now.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what Olivia has to say on that.
When they say when people say they're going to recall somebody, my initial thought is, that's cute.
That's a nice way of saying F you.
That's cute. Yeah. It's like when they say, if you don't do this, we're not going to vote for you. Okay.
Okay.
That's too off the board.
I mean, my best advice is to gather
give her some
information. Don't jump to conclusions until all the information's been gathered, and to really have a good due process. Don't make a rash decision, because it is a really big deal.
You got to dot your I's, because it's a serious. It is totally like a scarlet letter on it.
Oh yeah.
Also to see if there's a policy in place about this type of situation. And if not, then that might be the lesson here to craft a policy. And also, I'd be curious to see if this has happened in other cities and how other cities have dealt with it or not dealt with it. And that would be of interest to me to understand.
But it's pretty hard when the city attorney in the meeting says, the problem is it says City of Fremont and it looks like we endorse it and we did not.
Look, that your answer was like a very pragmatic, political answer.
I was thinking that.
You know what it did to me? It brought me back to a colleague of mine who sat on your board that would never give that answer. His name was Jim McGrail, and Jim McGrail.
Oh, I thought it was McGrill.
Still been alive, you would have had some fantastic sound bites from this guy. Really good friend of mine, man. You know, when people pass away. Two things happen. You feel sorry and you move on, or it impacts you every day and it kind of lingers. Mm-hmm. When he passed on, I still wait for his call and still think about him, but his soundbite would have been, go fuck themselves. Yeah. So similar to that. But that brings me to another thing that happened while we were on break or on hiatus, man, is the passing of Kobe Bryant and the passing
Kobe
of Kobe
Bryant.
So sad.
And, you know, I feel it sad, but I'm going to sound like a total asshole. It doesn't change the way I put on my shoes in the morning. And people in this country give so much, oh my God, Kobe Bryant passed away. Look, you didn't know Kobe, you watch him on TV. It ain't going to change the way you need to pay your rent or your mortgage.
I know.
But we put these athletes and all these entertainers on this pedestal. So when a guy like Peace Dark dies, who did more for the community, who did more for this country than Kobe will ever do, you don't even hear about Pete. You hear about Kobe.
You shook Pete Stark's hand.
Kobe did do a lot.
But Kobe did, but he played basketball.
What?
Like at the end of the day, he played hoops, man.
I feel like you're trying to get me in trouble by bringing that Kobe Bryant up.
I'm just saying.
But you know, I was reading that Sunday.
I got more emotional when Pete Stark died than when Kobe Bryant died.
The thing about Kobe is he is this superhuman, yet he's just as fragile as everyone
is
else.
Is he superhuman?
That is the fundamental lesson learned.
Is he superhuman? Says the woman in Denver. That's what I was thinking. But this is what happened.
Oh, man.
This is what happened. But this is what happened. I got some strong feelings on this one. I feel like I've been making.
Hey, man, you better hope Snoop Dogg don't listen to this shit, because he's going to blast you for that.
Well, he probably knew him. But
well, he did.
This is what I thought. This is what happened. It was a Sunday, right? And so I was going to do my relaxation. I walked down to Starbucks. I got my stack of magazines. Going to catch up on reading. It's going to be quiet, no electronics, and go read it. And I'm walking there, and I get a text that Kobe died. Now, people who've listened to this podcast know about my neighbor downstairs smokes weed, plays music, which he has stopped doing. But I saw him the other day, and he didn't look good. And he was looking all pasty, and he was looking like, oh, something's wrong. Right. I heard a lot of, I think him and his girlfriend are beating each other up, like equally beating each other up. So, right. And so his name is Colby.
Colby.
And so I get the text, and I go like,
oh, you're like,
how do we know? Did the front office send an email that somebody's dead in the park? And he said, no, Kobe Bryant. Oh. And then I was like sad, and everybody in the Starbucks, you see people waiting in the car. Everybody's obviously, it's just hit, right? And they're looking at their phone. Right. They're all kind of like disbelief. And so then I'm there for maybe like half hour later, and then I find out that it was kid, and I found out it was like what he was doing. It was so funny to me that my feeling was like pure like, oh, that's terrible, so sad, oh my God. When I kind of got more details, I was like, this son of a bitch killed his kid just because he can't stand in the traffic. This is a needless thing.
You should see Olivia's face right now. She's looking at you like, huh?
And I'm a Warrior fan.
Okay, I like the Warriors too. I am not a Lakers fan.
But that was my.
But I appreciate basketball, and Kobe Bryant is one of the best basketball players ever.
Right. But you're right. But how about you notice the shame? People got shamed into saying Kobe Bryant died, and his daughter, and seven people.
I mean, this is still happening now,
though.
Why
he died, though? Like, I mean, like, was there a malfunction in the helicopter?
No,
too much fog.
Did they get like a report saying you probably shouldn't take off in the fog? Just like I don't follow it. I really, like I said, man.
No, I don't. I don't think they know. But
did the black box ever turn up?
There was no black box.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Helicopters. Yeah. Well, there's a good piece of legislation that should be coming forward now by the state legislature.
Yeah, probably going to. Yeah, I would imagine it would call it the Kobe Bryant.
I mean, there's
bill.
Still some controversies. I know right now Gail right. King is had been trending earlier today on Twitter because of some of her comments in regards to.
She made a comment, and then Snoop Dogg just let her have it.
But here's my point. What you're trying to say about these are athletes. What kills me, what I don't understand about athletes is that they mostly started like regular people, and they attained this high stature. But Kobe Bryant is not a man of the people. A man of the people does not fly his helicopter just to go to a basketball game in the morning that is like a, you know, an hour drive.
Well,
I mean,
look,
that
man,
is not,
I'm
they are not regular people.
Look, I'm a regular person myself, and if I could take a helicopter from fucking Pleasanton to Brentwood and bypass Vasco, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Because fuck that traffic, man.
Well, when I figure that, that's just my feel. I'm just being honest. I'm,
I get
like,
it.
This guy took a needless risk many times. And so over the weekend, like with like family, and like I was unmerciful. I had no filter of making Kobe Bryant helicopter jokes and making fun of the 49ers losing.
49ers losing was
I love that.
I looked at my kid 7 minutes ago to go in that game, and they're up by like, what, 10? And I'm like, bro, I think Casey's done. And then it's like the football gods heard me say this to my son. And they're like, okay, I'm going to pollute Shanahan's brain and just only have him run the ball one time after he got 9 yards. And then have him throw on second, third, and third. And then punt on fourth. And then I look at my kid. There's hope. And then they score. Then there's more hope. And then they don't run again. It's like, did you just lose your ability to coach by some mental scrambling that I just bestowed upon your brain?
It looks like it.
Because you had the game won. Run the ball. That was like when they didn't run Marshawn Lynch from the 1 yard line. Or when Dipshit decided to have the 89 Bears, when they decided to hand the ball off to Refrigerator Perry to score a touchdown and not Walter Payton. It's like, man, what happens in these guys' brains, man?
So, you know, it's interesting being in the Bay Area because for me, I don't have many strong memories before the year 1984. And as we all know, the Raiders were in Los Angeles for most of the 80s through the mid 90s. And then I actually ended up moving to LA in the mid 90s when the Raiders came back.
She's a Bruin.
I am a Bruin. Go Bruins, UCLA for life. So for me, I grew up.
All the Cal old people. Wait, you know what? You can say that because all the old Cal people, they don't know how to use podcasts. So you could just say it.
Let us know if you are. We'd love to talk.
Like Jim Forrest, Sam Andrew, he doesn't even know how to use a computer. He goes, you got a flip phone that day.
Jim Brill is a great guy.
You know, Jim
Brill. But yeah, anyway, so I grew up with Joe Montana, Steve Young. So I do like the 49ers.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to bring you back to that 2 weeks ago.
And if the 49ers had won, they would have tied the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots for most Super Bowl championships, which I think would be really nice to see. No, but
as a Raider fan, I'll just answer.
Didn't happen.
No, it's not good.
It's not good. We still got 11 more to win to even be
better. I was ready to jump on the Raiders bandwagon had they stayed in Oakland, but that's not happening.
That's never happening. And you could say again to those Raider fans out there who still think, as you said correctly, there are still think they're still coming back. They're still No, that stadium is not. It's a mirage.
No, that's
near the mirage. It's near the mirage.
They're not coming back.
Still coming back, man.
But I made a commitment that I'll still remain a Raider fan, but I'm never going to wear anything that says Las Vegas on it. No, thank you.
I'm not for anything. I'm just for the safety of the players. That's what I root for.
Wow, that's really nice.
Thank you,
Steven.
Thank you.
But that is an issue with concussions and head injuries.
I want to do one of my segues here. We kind of got to it, but you know, if there was an East Bay politics, like somebody who embodied the swagger of the old Raiders, like do it his own way, is Pete Stark. He was like Al Davis kind of figure. You know, he did his way, and he got things done. So let's. How about anybody? Olivia, you got a good story.
I do have a good Pete Stark story. And it's
very
relevant because this past weekend I was in Sacramento for the We the People Competition Civics State Championship. Yeah. And when I was a high school student in 1996, I was on the team. And my team, we won the California State Championship. And then we went to Washington, D.C. for the national finals.
Can you say super nerd?
I am a super nerd and proud of it.
Okay.
Where's your level of Dungeons & Dragons?
I don't play Dungeons & Dragons.
21st Amendment. What is it?
It's prohibition.
Ooh.
Throw another one at her. She's supposed to know this stuff. Who else? What else? Come on, do it.
The 18th Amendment.
I think that was also prohibition. That was the one that started prohibition. Then 21st Amendment.
Who wrote
overturned
the Articles of Confederate? Articles of.
I think it's John Dickinson.
Who Jeffersonian
is he,
or
is he
Madisonian?
Was it Dickinson? I might have gotten that wrong, you guys.
I'm gonna have to look that
up. No, I know. Now I need
Bill
to look
Quirk will that up. Okay. All right. We're saying we're just making sure.
I actually judged that competition.
Did you?
Yes. At my level at the middle school level. But you're sitting there as in a middle school man, and you're I looked at a judge that was doing a judge, an honorable judge, and then somebody to my left, I don't know, a member of like the Senate, and I'm like, they're as perplexed as I am. I'm like, guys, you're smart. You should know this shit. I'm a fish out of water here. I haven't taken this in 28 years.
Actually, both
years
of you have helped, though, with the program. Because remember, Sean, you helped us have the regional finals.
I did.
At the Alameda County
did
Fairgrounds.
Did I do something? What did I do?
And then you came to one of the
I wrote
practices.
A story. That was a profile about you. I was going to practice.
You came to a practice.
In terms of practice.
They were pretty good.
Pete Stark, when we went and represented California at the national finals, he did submit to Congress all of our names individually. So my name is in the congressional record because of Congressman Pete Stark.
Oh. Well, I
found have something oddly in common with Pete. I think it's the ages of our significant others. I'm just kidding, man. You know the funny thing? You know what sucks about dating someone younger, man? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask you
and
about dating if you don't mind.
The spread of the age.
But you know what's funny about dating somebody younger? Is if I take more than two poops in a day, she's like, what's going on here? Like, how many, like, what is the status of the diapers when you get to a point where I got to help you?
Oh,
I'm like, look, I got to start sneaking away sometimes. I'm like, it's only two a day. I'm regular. But really, it's like four. Oh, shit. I'm just kidding. It's two, man. No, I was going to ask you. We had Kevin Dowling on.
KD.
A little while ago. And
we
I know
judge.
You're recently single.
I am.
And I don't know your age, and I'm not going to ask because that's inappropriate.
That's okay. 40.
Okay.
What?
So,
yes.
What? So Kevin said dating in his 50s.
No, he said the 50s is
the land of lost toys.
Broken toys.
Broken toys.
Sad.
Do you have that same experience dating in your 40s?
I wouldn't say that, but I will say, in terms of being involved in local politics, it's very interesting.
Oh, you have like
my first
political
date,
junkies that are trying to...
Not necessarily. My first date that I went on was with a man from Pleasanton, and this was in May 2016. And my first questions to him were, do you vote? What political party are you in? Did you vote for me? And I realized...
That's not sexy, so you got to ixnay
those. It worked out. Little bit of a period of time. Not anymore, but
that's
like...
I think that's a good way to go. Because I've been trying to tell like family members and people around, and I tell, hey, you know, let's start talking about this. Who are you going to vote for? That's not a rude question. We need to talk about these things.
Was that your first date? So,
after my divorce, yes.
So no, did he? But was it your first date? First date with the guy?
Yes.
Really? So Steven, you think that's good on the first date?
Yes. Yes. Because
if I'm
going to
date someone from Pleasanton, I want to know whether or not they voted for me.
Oh, were they Republican?
No, he is a member of the Democratic Party. And he did vote for me.
Oh, he did?
No, but
you know he wasn't lying.
No.
There's always that.
I've been like, yeah, I voted for you. And then I've been like, I would have did a line from David Halver, like, ask me, go, what party are you with?
Is your hair real, David?
No. What party? Oh, say what?
What party are you in?
I don't know. What party are you with? And then you say?
I'm from the Shin Yun Rejects.
Me too.
Does he do that? I'm going to ask him tonight. But no. I think it's a good strategy because if that guy. So what I'm saying is why
like
I've been asking people.
You have to separate dating from the.
For no, me though, I don't think I could be with someone who's not involved.
I'm just saying, like on the second or third day, when you kind of warm up, not your first day.
Why waste our time?
I think
get
so.
To the point.
No, I think it's fine because it will show what kind of person you could glean a lot from those answers, like what kind of person they are,
especially now.
Really?
You know, what if they?
I don't think I could date a Trump supporter.
I couldn't either. Like I could that's where I draw the line. Like I could never.
You know, my parents are Trump supporters.
Whoa.
So I have enough of that in my life.
Whoa. Do they jam you up?
Yeah, you know,
that's ironic as hell, man. Why would your parents be Trump supporters?
I don't understand actually.
Are they
how
afraid
I am.
Of the caravan from Honduras? Remember that commercial? They're coming for you. Caravan. Do you ever see that?
Well, I did see that.
That was the worst
yes.
thing ever, and people still voted for the guy.
Well, what kind of is Thailand like a monarchy or something? It's like authoritarian.
All of the above,
well,
right
see,
now.
That,
yes,
that makes sense. That's why they want control. They don't want.
That's
actually,
not why,
I don't
though.
Think that's
tell,
why.
I'm curious to know why.
I think it's more about healthcare. Actually, my dad's a longtime doctor in the community in the emergency room, and so he's seen a lot firsthand in terms of. You know, the people who are coming into the emergency room and the cost to the hospital system. And
so he probably wouldn't like Pete Stark.
I don't think so.
Because.
No, because Pete Stark was.
Pete Stark,
the person
man.
Who did a lot for healthcare.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know some of these things, or maybe I know, but I didn't put them all together. But when I started researching and I was like, man, this guy has like issues. Like just one of them would have been a successful congressman.
Dude,
I mean,
he was pretty progressive for the time, man.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and I'll start us off by saying it was Friday night, and I get a text from a public official, actually Fremont, and it was just after Nancy Pelosi put the put the news out, put a statement about Pete Stark passing away, and I'll tell you, I cried for a second, I teared up.
Yeah, it was.
And I was sitting there on the chase. Watching Netflix or something, getting ready, relaxing on a Friday night, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And I said, I gotta go. I retired to the office that we recorded one time, and I just like I gotta pound out just a obituary.
Something. Right.
2 hours, 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And
there was
and
a lot there.
The more you know, things he did for healthcare, man. The idea that you need to be taken care of. At the ER, if you got trouble,
yeah,
and you need to be stabilized. They need to take you to the closest.
Yes,
ER.
But the flip that's side of that is big. You have people coming into the ER, looking for Tylenol and Band-Aids.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different trouble with the.
And if I was president, those
whole
people
system.
Would be shot.
But
because you're taking up time, like a little lady in front of me who still writes a check and bounces a checkbook in cursive before
true.
She moves out of the line, so I can get rung up.
That's true.
Like, those people are insane.
I went to Highland one time, and I thought it was kind of sick.
I
emergency.
Got diagnosed with TB at Highland.
Oh.
Did you have TB?
No. Isn't that some
is that
shit?
Too personal? You know, it's so interesting, though, having...
Like, I got TB. I
having
like 2 weeks.
Having a dad who's a local doctor in urgent care in the emergency room for Stanford Valley Care in the Tri-Valley, I've had people come up to me and say, hey, I saw your dad the other day at the hospital. I have shingles. And people will tell me all of what's going on in their health
history.
Excuse me,
sir,
and
but that's
very...
a HIPAA violation. I don't need to know what you have. And well, now you need to stand back.
If the patient tells me, it's fine. No, my dad kidding. Can't tell me. My no, dad I'm doesn't tell me.
Terry Bradshaw could take care of that. Didn't he do that HIPAA, I mean that shingles commercial?
Yeah, that's some
TB.
Hey, man, that's
it's serious. Yeah, shingles is serious.
Jacks you up for a while.
Well, but I went to Highland, and I thought I was sick, and I was waiting in the ER, and then all of a sudden, like,
oh, gunshot.
And there's people come in, and they're crying. Their kids is basically died. They're coming through the ER, like, and there's like this, give me chills right now. This just cry of pain and anguish, and I totally was like, well, you know, I don't think I feel that bad. I'm just gonna leave.
My diarrhea will pass.
I'll just get some.
I'll be fine.
I just get some Robitussin down the street. It really brings it into focus. Like, I don't think I'm just more important right
but
here.
But, you know, this is a good segue to the presidential election because healthcare
really
is. Well,
we got to talk about Pete Stark first.
Yeah, I got to say one
we
last thing about
Pete. Finish Pete Stark, Pete. But then we got to talk about the presidential election.
Pete had, like,
what did he mean to you?
Phenomenal chief of staff, Joe Kazanoff.
Yeah.
She was just probably the best representative of any elected office that I've ever come into contact with. And she gave me some phenomenal advice and took me in her wing and just was really there for me, you know, when I was a young chief of staff at the time working for Alice. And, you know, I was like probably one of the youngest around that was serving as chief. But she really was gracious and kind. And I've met Pete, and he was really cool and kind. And, you know, I got a picture of Pete Stark actually holding my now 20-year-old daughter at a Eaton area Democratic St. Patrick's Day event. I think that's the event that I gave the extra keg of green beer to Hayward Fire, and they took it on the Delta the next day. Then I got a call from the fire chief, and it's like, Mark Bennett's like, what the hell did you give my guys the whole keg of beer for? They all called into work today sick. I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do with green beer? So, but yeah, man, Pete Stark was a good dude.
What did you give the current fire chief?
Who? Garrett? No, Garrett, man. Garrett is
Jameson?
I don't even think.
Cake of Jameson?
I don't think he drinks anymore. Right? Okay, I mean, I haven't seen him around. I got to call that guy. That's Garrett, good. I miss you, man.
That's good. But,
what's your story with Pete?
You know, it's basically my whole politics, my whole view of politics is Pete Stark. He's very important to me. I grew up Castro Valley, and then I started getting into looking at politics like my, you know, in my area. Pete Stark was my representative. And as I, you know, 18, 20, 22 years old, you know, and I'm, I'm kind of into it. And I had this realization one day. Like, damn, everything this guy says literally is exactly the word for word what I would say. My opinions. I feel like with Pete Stark, I was actually the congressman. Like, that's me. He's saying the same words on the House floor that I would say. Right down to, you know, George Bush getting his jollies off of getting kids killed.
So you would say on the floor of Congress that you'd piss on somebody's leg?
You know, that's what the other guy said. but maybe I wouldn't say, you know, he wanted to, like, fight people.
Yeah,
like
he wanted to get in a fight.
And he would go like, hey, come on, man. There was the one.
You break a hip, it's over.
I mean, I believe you got to do put the good and the bad. But, you know, the time he used to tell, hey, fruitcake. And he always got to, you call the guy fruitcake, man. That's OG word, too, right?
That is OG word.
But This may be mean, but I'm talking about somebody who also passed. But I was, you know, shortly after that, was redistricted. And where I lived was I lost Pete Stark. And I got traded in for Ellen Tauscher, who's very moderate. And you know,
she represented a moderate district.
Everything she said was, again, and I had this odd feeling of, like, I was kind of embarrassed that was my representative. You know, and she's standing with George Bush, and George Bush is putting his hand on her knee. Remember that picture?
Yeah, I think I do.
Basically,
oddly.
She was like, you know, lapdog for George W. Bush. Are you kidding me? And so it just made me appreciate Pete Stark more. But what I was going to bring up is, like, you know, when your buddy, Eric Swalwell, he ran. And he
it's
would
all
say,
coming out. Like, Olivia, this is why he really hates
and,
me.
And he would say,
Eric,
yes,
we're finding it out now.
Yeah. Well, maybe I
because
should.
Because Eric is not super liberal. Like, like
and he also took out Pete Stark.
But right, I guess. The, yeah, that might
be the idea that he would go around the Tri-Valley and say that Pete Stark had comments were like rude and this is why we need to change. I was like, no, this is why people like me liked him, because he told the straight up truth.
But he was getting up there, man. He was losing his faculties a little bit.
I think there does need to be some of this passing of the torch.
Yeah, there definitely needs some
of that. But you're right. I'm going to get to the real reason why I personally have...
You heard it here first.
...some animosity towards that guy that I knew. So I can say it now. I knew a little bit more that was going on with Pete Stark at the end. In 2012, at the end of that year. I mean, that dude could have died.
Yeah.
That dude was like basically walking pneumonia. And so the idea that he would say this crazy stuff and he disappeared, probably as in your consult book would say, he probably, after that primary, he probably should have laid low anyway.
Should have laid
low. But the dude was had, you know, just laying low, laying in bed.
Oh, yeah.
And he kept fighting. And the idea that, that Eric Swalwell would continue to say, this guy basically is old, has no energy at all. The dude is like, not only, this guy could have died.
Yeah.
And he obviously recovered because he lasted another 8 years. And kind of surprising that he never really, as far as I know, he never even weighed in on anything for those 8 years. He just really he just went off into the sunset. And for a guy who was like, you know, tough talking, I kind of thought maybe he might say something. But it was a great, like I said, I cried. And he's a hero. I wanted to be, I remember. I wanted to be an intern a long time ago. They didn't pick me. You know Jason Terremoto?
I do not.
You know Jason Terremoto? He used to work in the...
I know Jason.
And I guess they wanted somebody like that.
He went to school with my sister.
But he worked a long time for Pete Stark. But yeah. This is my honest podcast. I always questioned whether Pete Stark really knew who Jason Terremoto was. I mean, you're hanging around. I was like, I think Jason Terremoto is basically, it's like driving Miss Daisy. It was like that. He just pick him up at the airport, and they take him home, because he would be like, at town halls, he'd be like, you know, a question come up, and it usually probably happens to you, where the Haggerty might say, you know what, great question, I'll have you talk to my chief of staff, Sean Wilson, and then you come around and give a card, right? That kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And he would go, oh, that's a great question, you know, and I'll get some help. I'll ask my assistant, Jason Terremoto. It's like, dude, he doesn't even know your name, man.
Did you go to school with him?
Yes, I went to school with him. Yeah. And that was the thing that Eric Swalwell tried to say, that was kind of some kind of cahoots. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jason Terremoto was kind of a nerd.
And he ran against Mary Hayashi.
He ran against Mary Hayashi, and he got like...
And his father's a doctor.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Jason Terremoto got like 16% against Mary Hayashi. So, great loss. You know, I can't say rest in peace.
Reposa in pace.
You can't say it because...
He's an atheist.
He was atheist.
Yeah.
Well, you can say it. He just doesn't have to believe it.
Yeah, but, you know, so we got that. But let's, I want to talk about something here, because a lot of people are going to give me this question, because their ballots are in the mail now.
Yes.
Or they've received their vote by mail ballots, and they're like, what's all this long thing, like whole page of Central Committee, Democratic, Republican, or whatever? What do I do? Who do I pick? Why is that? Why is Central voting in Central Committee? In my district, 18th district, you could pick 11 people. I'm not sure if that's the...
I believe that's the same as every assembly district. Some have more, some have...
Actually, what I'm getting is we have a lot of choose from.
You choose six, right?
In there.
Four to six? Yeah.
Assembly
District 16 has fewer, smaller number. Because one, we're only three cities in Alameda County. But then also it's based on the percentage of registered members of the Democratic Party. And in cities like Pleasanton and Livermore, it is a little bit more... purple, right? Split between the Democratic Party and the GOP.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I got 11 in Oakland, in the 18th.
But you probably
Oakland.
Only vote for like six or four.
That's 11.
Who are you going to vote for?
There's like 20 people in there.
Are you going to give your endorsement?
Well, I'm saying, why is it important to vote? Why is that important, this Central Committee? Is what people need to know
first. It's very important, because Central Committee gets to vote on endorsements for locally elected offices, such as the Zone 7 Water District Director race, as well as local city council, local school board races. They also, central committee members who are voted in on the ballot also go to the state Democratic Party convention and get to vote in state elections and state endorsements. And it yeah. can really change sure. the dynamics of an election if you have the endorsement yeah. of the Democratic Party or not, yeah. especially in Alameda County.
Yeah. And afterwards, they're kind of like tone setters in certain cities. I mean, most, let's be real, it's very progressive. It may be even a tad more progressive than even this most progressive area we live in. So it's very progressive. But I've noticed over the years, one of those people, when they're on Central Committee and who else is appointed to there, they could be tone setters, like Sanctuary City. I remember like Robin Torello, who's the
chair.
She was going around to each of the cities and going like, hey, man, you need to go Sanctuary City, man. This, we need to all be together. And of course, you, Olivia's part of the county was like, well, I don't know. Well, how, then some was like, nah, and then some were like Fremont, or no, Union City, or maybe Fremont also. Union City, Fremont were like, well, how about we just change the name of it from Sanctuary to a Compassionate City? We are so that, and rent control ideas that the Central Committee goes around and been, you know, kind of like. Like you said, they have the power of endorsement. That is, that seal is gold. Because most people don't pay attention, right? And but they know they're Democrats, and they want a guide. They're a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. They should know. Okay, I'm going to vote for this person. Is important. But what I, you know, I'm frustrated because I feel like I just, you know, if people ask me that question, who should, what should I do here? And I'm like, there's so many names. You can't sit there and say, oh, you should just vote for X. But I don't know how to say specifically, but this would be my, this is what I would tell people.
Wait, before you do, do you have an endorsed list of candidates?
Oh, yeah.
As well?
Are you, like, are you,
a, he can give you,
are
his.
You on there?
I am not running for a central committee, no.
And you forgot to inform our 11 listeners that you also, as part of being elected, have to come to the committee meeting, the Democratic committee meeting, once a month, I believe.
No, I'm not on the central committee.
No, I'm just saying, as part of that requirement.
Yes.
You need to be there, and if you miss a few meetings, then you could get asked to step down.
You're in the 16th district, assembly district.
Correct.
So they're by assembly districts, how they break it down.
Yes.
This will be my advice for everybody. Okay, everybody, listen. Get your pens ready. Blue or black ink only on your vote by mail. No red.
No red.
I already looked. This is what
no
you
purple.
Should do.
No purple.
No green.
You may not be readily noticeable, but like in 18th district, this will be my advice. Do not vote for anybody from Oakland, except for Pamela Price.
Oh, you got to be
kidding me!
And
this
me,
is
man.
The reason. This
you
is gotta, the reason.
Are you serious? Right
Oakland
now?
Has too much. Power as it is, and right now, I mean,
don't you live in Oakland?
Even yeah, they have too much power, and I really start thinking as a progressive, the wacky things and stuff we talked about, boats full of homeless people, taking people's houses, squatting. What else did they do there? Defund the whole police, have no police. These ideas are way out there. So three of the five board of supervisors seats are connected to Oakland.
Correct.
So they already got power up and down, but they don't have power at the central committee, which is kind of interesting to me, because there is a point where people like in the Hayward area and the Fremont, they have like more power. It's very devoid of Oakland. If you go to these meetings, they don't really have a voice, and they frankly don't even care. So do not put any Oakland people in there except for Pamela Price. But you know, there's candidates from San Leandro. You got Benny Lee, who's not necessarily progressive, but I find him to be a smart and honorable guy who will bring a Chinese American Democratic perspective to the whole thing, like he's done in San Leandro. You got people like that. That's what I would stick to. There's a housing activist who I don't think has been a part of here. Victoria Fierce. That's mm-hmm. that's a voice that needs to be on there, because she's not connected to anything like from an office. She's just a straight housing activist, and they need that kind of thing. So don't vote for Oakland. Don't give them more power. They don't need it. We're gonna have defunding. We're gonna have no cops. We're just going to have a militia.
Yeah, but isn't there a person on the ballot, you know, like a Jane Doe or a John Doe that is, like, not as progressive and superly crazy as Pamela? I mean, she went into the DA's office and either her or her husband went in there and basically said, "Oh, you motherfuckers are fired when I get her or my wife gets elected." That's a true goddamn statement, and that's who you want?
I thought, you know.
That's who you want?
You know when the district attorney in San Francisco, the new one,
that's
came
crazy.
In? And when he got in, I thought of that, what she was going to do. He did. He fired a bunch of them. Like, you're out of here. Listen, Pamela Price.
That's crazy, man.
Love her.
You know, she donated to Vincent Bacon, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's crazy.
She must be loaded.
I would have sent that check back.
But love her or loathe her.
That ain't clean money.
she brings up the issues to clean up the Central Committee. Because they do a little crazy stuff sometimes, right?
So, who you support?
So she's just a voice, a strong voice.
Has anyone on the slate asked you for their endorsement?
Yes. Cheryl Cook Callio's on the ballot.
She's good.
Jeff Nybert's on the ballot. I think that there are a couple good people in Assembly District 16 for sure. I think Dean Wallace is on the ballot.
Don't know Dean. Don't know Dean?
Yes, you do. He helped run Eric's.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I would not pick him.
In fact,
I'll do the opposite endorsement. That dude, do not vote for that dude.
I don't have this memorized. I wasn't prepared for this.
He's got. If people say he's a good dude, then he. I think he's fooling you. He's not a good dude.
So, like, this committee does have some say with the presidential nomination. I actually sat on it years ago.
That too. Yeah.
But it's a good segue, man, to talk about what's going on at the national level before we talk about why we're in Fremont and District 1.
Yeah,
so
don't get
I know
that.
We Kevin has some thoughts about
Buttigieg.
You know, I don't know what he thinks now. I don't know if what had happened in Iowa changes anything. And I'm curious to know who you support as we are asking everyone.
Oh.
And, you know.
See, it's a litmus test.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Wanted to vote for our
Senator
Kamala Harris. She was my first choice. And
this couldn't have worked out any more perfect, especially on the timing.
Oh, my God.
Because we're about to talk about District 1 right now.
Somebody is just...
We got to go back in close session.
Look who's here. Oh, my God.
We got to force them here. She has to finish on who she likes as president.
Uh-oh.
Real quick. And then we'll do our special introduction.
Anybody but Trump.
Well, you got to pick a Dem.
Come on now.
If I was voting today, I'd be voting for Senator Amy Klobuchar.
I like her.
But I'm wondering if a candidate like Mike Bloomberg really does have the potential to beat Trump.
Ooh.
Well, look, I can tell you what I think, and that is it's going to be very hard to beat Trump. I don't care who you are. Bloomberg, and you got Steyer, who was just endorsed by Rob Bonta.
Say what? Terrible.
You got some you know, cast of characters, and I don't know if any of this of these cast members could be successful in beating Trump. That's the scariest thing.
Well, that's what Nate Silver is starting to write a lot about
exactly
right now, and I'm a big fan of Nate Silver's analysis.
But I agree with you. I mean, were you leaning toward, if you look at sort of what happens lately or the next couple weeks and Bloomberg maybe get some support, you know, Andrew Yang's been out there saying he's going to get all this support and he has some secret
poll. I like Andrew Yang.
That he's going to be successful.
I bought one of his math hats as a nerd,
I mean,
he
said some good things. I mean,
but
I don't know if he has
momentum.
But
the thing about Andrew Yang, I wish he had already served in elected office.
Right.
Even if he had been mayor or on the water board, it would be good for him to have had some experience if he has not served in elected office.
On the next East Bay Insiders, part two of The Winners.
I heard you were picking on my girl.
Oh, here we go. Oh, my God.